Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Here we go on a magical Monday, the madness of March. NFL coaches talking as we speak. You'll hear the things they say. I have a lot to catch up on. Shohei Ohtani, all that and a whole lot more. We only have 2 hours to do this, people. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
Houston holds on. The one seed to the break goes to overtime after blowing a 13-point lead and holds on 100-95.
Only one team can advance, and I've learned not to autopsy wins this time of the year, so we move on.
Well, actually, this year they all do. As we speak, all of the one seeds and all the two seeds are still alive in a bracket that is dripping with chalk. And that's one of the many storylines we dive into here this morning. Great to be back. Thank you, everybody, for the nice notes while I was gone. It is good to be here. It is good to be surrounded once again by the assembled members of the hashtag crew. They've assembled around us and today in different configuration than normal. Bubba is back in Bristol. Hembo is here alongside. And Cam has made his way down to our studios in New York City. So if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time that Hembo and Cam have been in the same room at the same time.
That is correct somehow, considering we've worked together for over a year now. But yeah, he is as advertised.
And Cam is much more impressive in person.
I told you, he's bigger than you think he is.
He is an imposing figure.
Yeah.
So, taller, not wider or anything.
No, you're wider too.
Okay.
You're wider and taller.
I don't
wider
know how I feel what? About that.
Than I expected.
Than he expected.
Crank him up!
What did you expect?
I expected less width and about this height. You know, I knew he would be tall, but I didn't expect he'd be this wide.
Well, one way or another, let's start with the tournament. There's so many things to get to here today, but there's a question on my screen as we check in with everybody's brackets. And Bubba, I don't know if it's you or Cam who put the question in, but is this a thing I don't know about? Because Michael Kay texted this to me on Friday. The question is, would Greeny rather see Northwestern win a title or the Jets win a Super Bowl? Friday, I was at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn to watch my alma mater play and win a thrilling game against Florida Atlantic in round one of the NCAA tournament. And on my way home, while celebrating and just being in the best mood I've ever been in, I get a text out of nowhere from Michael Kay. And I have not, I mean, Michael and I are friends, but it's not like I hear from him regularly. And he just sent me a note. Would you rather see Northwestern win the NCAA championship or the Jets win the Super Bowl? And I actually thought about it for a minute. And I would say if it wasn't for my kids, then I would say the Jets. But my daughter is a graduate of Northwestern. My son is a current student at Northwestern. It's something that we share even more than we share the Jet thing. I mean, my son lives and dies with the Jets the same way I do. But there's a direct connection to the university that is so powerful for my family. Stace went there too. That I would take that because it's something that we would share differently. And Michael Kay, wrote me back that Peter Rosenberg thinks I'm crazy and that I should say the Jets. And I said, well, does Peter Rosenberg have kids? And the answer to that came back, no. And so that's sort of where we are. So is that, what am I missing here, Cam? How did this become a topic?
I think the fact that you talk about the Jets much more on the air and are known as being the Jets guy, obviously people know you went to Northwestern, but your on-air thing is, I'm the big Jets guy. So people are surprised to hear you say anything besides, that's my number one overall, well, no question.
I love Northwestern basketball. I went to every home game when I was a student there in the 80s. The fact that we have now been in the tournament back-to-back years and won a game in each of those years is the source of extraordinary pride for me. It is, however, worth pointing out that if I were to spend a lot of time on my nationally syndicated radio and television shows talking about Northwestern basketball, that probably wouldn't be received. I mean, I have people telling me I talk too much about the Jets. So if I'm doing that and they're an NFL team, I don't know how well received it would be. But I could sit here and talk to you all you wanted about the significance of the injuries to Matt Nicholson and Ty Berry. And if those two guys hadn't gotten hurt, I think that we could have beaten any team in the tournament except Connecticut. Connecticut would make the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference.
I don't think that's
UConn
true.
Is unfairly good. Yes, they are. They're ridiculously good. This tournament is the UConn Invitational. They should just change the name of it. They should actually just give out the UConn trophy to whoever else wins and just put them to the side. No one will play them within 10 points. Hembo, I'm making you that statement right now. They've won two games. They're going to win four more, and no one will play them to a single-digit finish, yes or no?
No. But I would not be stunned if you were right.
Well, then why no?
Because I don't agree with you.
You said no, and then you said yes.
No, I did not. I don't agree with you that it's going to happen, but if it does, I won't be stunned. I won't be stunned. They're 8-0 in the tournament over the last 2 years.
That's a hell of a... That's like the definition of taking both sides of an argument. So if they don't, then you can say, I told you it wouldn't happen. And if they do, you can say, I told you I wouldn't be stunned. So you now win no matter which way it
goes. No, I don't win or lose. There's no winners or losers here. What I can tell you is that since the start of the tournament last year, UConn's 8-0. Every single win is by 10+, and the average game is 80-58. And this team is a good bit better than last year's was. UConn's clearly and obviously the best team. There's nobody that could have played yesterday that would have had a prayer. And so I thought Northwestern actually acquitted himself pretty well, especially in the second half. But I think it is overwhelmingly likely that they'd win the title. But they're going to get a test from somebody
who?
Between now and then.
I mean, maybe the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, if we put them in the NBA's play-in, I think they might get out of that. Like, they might win that tournament. If you put them in the Eastern Conference play-in, you realize right now, if the season ended today, Atlanta would be in the play-in. In the East, they're 8 games under .500.
There's some bad basketball in the Eastern.
This is what I'm saying. I mean, I give UConn a puncher's chance
in the Big Eastern Conference.
A puncher's chance in that. I mean, you know, in the way the Big East got screwed out of the tournament. Like, I missed all of this last week, and so it's all old news right now. But it just goes to show you again how ludicrous it is to have human beings making decisions that human beings should absolutely not be making. I've said this all the time about college football. Now that it's become a thing, I've been saying it as long as you've been listening to me on these airwaves on the radio. Human beings are not meant to make these decisions. It is not a criticism of any individual human beings. It is a criticism of our species. We are imperfect. We make mistakes. We have machines that can do this way better than we can do it. If you want to put the teams that are most deserving of playing for a championship into a 68-team bracket, then you should not have human beings taking their biases into a room and casting
votes.
The
biggest problem is that the tournament field is too small.
No, it's not.
It is much too small.
No, don't start that.
And this year is proof positive of just that.
No, it's not. So who is it that you want to do add in here, as every one seed is still alive, every two seed is still alive? One might argue that's living proof that no one really, that not even this many teams belong in a championship contention. See, there's two separate sides to this. Having more tournament games equals good. I understand that part because the tournament is so good. Although I don't like the way they have Saturday and Sunday. I did not like the way they staggered the games. Like, when did this happen? When did it start that we only had one game early and then another game late and then they all came later in the day on Saturday and Sunday? Did I miss a meeting? Like, it didn't used to be that way.
It is super pronounced. I don't remember how long this has been the case.
Me neither. Though. But, like, the Purdue game sucks. And, like, you're sitting there, you got nothing to watch.
Yeah.
It's been happening for at least a while now.
How long?
As long as I can remember, for sure, because...
Only have one game at the top and then only one game in the second slot?
They have the standalone
games. As
long
as you can remember.
No. The standalone game I get. One game has to start first. I understand that. But I don't feel like... So let's just use loose times here. They're not exact. But one game starts at noon. The next game starts at 2:30. I don't feel like that 2:30 game was a standalone game forever, though. I feel like there was one game and then they would start coming at you in bunches. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misremembering that.
I think it's been at least, I mean, maybe since they redid the time, like, I don't know, I'd say at least 5 years, if not longer. I mean, I 100% get what you're saying with the frustration over it, but I know, I mean, because I do like the schedules of and assignments of when people are doing games, and I just know for at least like the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's been those things on Saturdays and Sundays, and it's annoying.
Okay, yeah, it's annoying. Because, I mean, like, so the first game yesterday, we get lucky. It's great. Unbelievable game, Colorado and Marquette. So that's a terrific game. You're watching the finish. Then you're sitting there. Purdue is playing Utah State. And like 8 minutes into the game, I'm like, well, when does the next one start? The beauty of the NCAA tournament is you never have to be watching something that isn't compelling.
Yeah, they should start game two, basically game one's halftime, and cascade from there. And if that means you have to start the first game later, I'm good with it. But I feel like having two standalone games to start the day is kind of clunky.
It's risky.
Yeah, it's very risky.
Because you wind up with a terrible, you know, just an app. And Stan, God bless Stan Van Gundy, who's trying hard to explain what Utah State has to do on defense in the second half.
You hate watching Zach Edey play.
Well, I just looked at the score. It was 72-41. What Utah State had to do was hope the clock ran out as fast as possible because their season was already over. That's what they needed to do. And Stan Van Gundy's like, well, they got to do a better job. No, they did a better job. The time for that is long since
they need to grow
6 inches.
They only need to grow 6 inches.
This has long since been over. But anyway, the point, I forget exactly
how I got onto
this.
The tournament needs to expand is the point.
No, it doesn't. The tournament doesn't need to expand because what we are left with now are 16 teams that have a chance to win the NCAA championship. Not to continue to provide us with great entertainment, or not exclusively that. And therein lies the fine line. We are extending the field in college football. We announced it while I was away that we're going to have all these games, which is fabulous. That is an enormous win for ESPN. Words can't describe how magnificent that is. And I'll say it again. Those games will have monster ratings. They will be extraordinarily exciting, and it's terrific. Everything about it is terrific for entertainment. But I am always of the belief, and particularly when it comes to the college basketball here, that this is not just about entertainment. It is supposed to be about crowning a champion of the season. And you start adding more teams to that, you start running the significant risk of a team like the Atlanta Hawks, who are, what are they now, 31? You have it in front of you?
31 and 39 or something like that?
31 and 39. That would be like just putting them in a one game. They and the Celtics play one game on a neutral court, and you decide the winner of that, you know, and then that day Jason Tatum twists his ankle and Jaylen Brown, you know, gets in foul trouble and the Hawks win.
Let me
tell
you why.
That's what we're talking about.
I disagree. So when the tournament expanded to 64 teams in 1985, do you know how many teams constituted Division I basketball at that time?
A smaller number.
Oh, about 150. All right, that number now is 350. We've expanded by 200 teams, and the tournament field has expanded by four, from 64 to 68. That just doesn't make any sense. Even if you expanded to, let's say, 112, which is my number, only 31% of the teams are actually getting a chance to compete for the championship, which is still way less than all the pro sports, which basically puts half the teams in the regular season into the playoffs. Grant you, there's a wide talent gap in college, much, much, much greater than there is in pro sports. But 31% of teams having the chance to compete for a championship is not crazy. The NCAA suggests at least 25%. So to me, it's the number of teams in Division I that is, you know, more than twice what it was when they originally expanded is kind of the important piece of the math here that we have to consider.
Yeah, but show me the team that has been added since then that has made a run in the tournament.
Here's
who
the thing.
Is it that's been added since 1985 that deserved a chance to win? These are... They didn't add Kentucky.
No, of course not. But we've seen teams go from the first four to the final four. Literally, teams at the very back, like the last four in, have right. been good enough to reach the final
four. But what conference did those teams play from?
The Atlantic 10. VCU was in the Atlantic 10. They went right. from the first four. To
UCLA did it a couple years ago.
Yeah, but they're from the Pac-12. Exactly. This is what I'm talking about. So, I mean, now you're talking about just rewarding the big power conference teams by putting their seventh and eighth best teams
right.
in there.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. I know. We've had this conversation before, and there was something that just seems intrinsically wrong. If you were just going to expand it and keep putting in all these Cinderellas and let them all have their chances, and the FAUs of the world who made a Final Four run last year, and what conference does George Mason play in?
The like, Atlantic 10.
I remember them being in the... But the Atlantic 10 is already a pretty big conference.
Pretty big, yeah. Top 10.
The problem with that is you had all year long to prove you were deserving of playing for a championship.
But playing a much better schedule in a much better conference. And the thing is, Greedy, with the transfer portal now being what the transfer portal is, players are going from George Mason to the fifth or sixth or seventh best team in the Big East, and that's where the talent lies. So those teams are better than they used to be, whereas the second or third best team in the Atlantic 10 is naturally worse because that's where the talent is going. The NCAA tournament field has not accounted for the changes in college basketball.
Someone needs to do something because I'm getting a note here that says my computer is about to restart.
That's not good.
Your computer must restart to complete the installation of applications and software updates. How do I keep this from happening?
Do you know what software updates they're trying to do?
How would I know that?
I didn't know if there's any more information on the screen.
You now know literally
as much as you do.
I know.
No, he already knows more than you do.
You now know more than I know. I know that Disney IT is telling me my computer is about to restart, which means the show is about to end.
Someone call MEO.
Yeah, let's get MEO on the line.
Someone do something. Call MEO, even though absolutely no one knows what that means. All right, as we continue, there's so many other things that are going on. Tons of football. The Shohei Ohtani news, which in its own way may wind up being the most important thing by far that happened. And I have a significant bone to pick with one of my favorite people at ESPN. And you'll hear who and why as we roll on. You're listening to Greeny, and this is ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, we are ESPN Radio. I am Greeny. The assembled members of the hashtag crew are here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. In 30 seconds, I will explain how we have sort of a lamination controversy going on here. But that's first, I will remind you that ESPN Bet is now live. As the official sportsbook of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. So Pineapple Jack comes in here during the break, and he's holding a laminated copy of the NCAA bracket. And so I said, what is that? And he said, it's laminated. I give it to Molly. Laminated. Because she tends to throw paper away. I figure she won't throw this away. So I said, well, why didn't you give me a laminated copy? And he said, oh, do you want a laminated copy? And I said, yes, I'd like that. So he said, he'll go laminate me one. And then I said, how exactly do you do that? And he said, I have a lamination station at my desk.
That's such a funny term.
Is that even a thing? Like a lamination station? Is that what one calls it?
First of all, Jack has a desk.
I think Jack has a desk.
Jack has a desk.
He does, yeah.
It's right by Hembo's desk.
Wow.
Jack has a desk.
Yeah. Actually, someone sent me some shoes today, and Hembo said Jack might like them. And I said, well, maybe my son will want them. And then I thought, Stevie's not going to want them. So I said to Hembo, give them to your son. Jack will wear them. And then The next thing I knew, Jack came in and said to me, I love the sneakers, guys. Nice. So that all worked out well.
Hembo has two infant daughters and a 23-year-old son.
That's right.
But now he's in there, and he's, I don't know, he's, I guess he's laminating me a copy of the NCAA tournament. You know,
his lamination station.
Yeah. It was my wife who hired Jack for this position, as you know. What I failed to ask her is, did she put him through like a combine of sorts? For the position, like lamination, stapling.
He runs a 4.2 lamination.
Right. Does anything go into that? I need to follow up and ask
her
about
that. Did she ask him anything.
I mean, did she
actually meet him? Because I do wonder,
having Zoom.
Gotten to know Jack now as we have, just how strict is our vetting procedure?
Sure. Like, what questions could she have asked that would have satisfied him getting the job over other people?
Right. That, which leads to the question, were there other people?
There were.
Well, then, I mean, I really would hate
imagine
to see
the
them.
People that didn't get the job.
That's what I mean.
Like, they where, can't laminate fast enough.
Where are the people who didn't beat out Jack for this job?
I'm sorry. We're going to go in a different direction. We're going to go with Jack.
Different direction.
Yes, I want a man who just eats pineapple. And when Greeny asks him if there's anything else we can laminate, he said, well, anything paper. That's the conversation we just had. I just said that to him.
Anything
what else could
paper.
We laminate? He said, I could laminate anything, paper.
As opposed to what?
It's a good skill to have.
Can you laminate my foot? Like, what exactly is it he thought I wanted laminated? So anyway, I go away for a week. I come back. Jack hasn't changed. That's for sure.
Good to know.
I have an issue with Orlovsky. This is nonsense. So I'm going to read you the texts, okay? So here's how this whole thing started. I guess I started it. That's if there's one area that I can give Dan the benefit of the doubt, it's that I started it. So last Monday, when I wasn't here, he texted me, when are you back? I texted him, trying to be jovial, the day after Northwestern beats UConn in Brooklyn. So I get it. I started it. But that's obviously fun, right? I'm just having fun. He wrote back, you're drunk? And I wrote back, perhaps, are you going Friday, blah, 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 blah. So then he says to me, we got to make a big public bet. So I said, what should we bet? Some sort of food thing with a question mark. Now, let me explain what I meant by that. His food thing, anyone who knows Dan Orlovsky knows, his food takes have made him legendary and awful. So I was going to bet him some sort of like, you know, you have to eat this or that, something you hate or whatever it is, or I'll buy you oatmeal raisin cookies because he likes them better than chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Anything with flavor. He
something
would hate
with
to
food.
Eat. Yeah.
That's what I meant. This is Northwestern playing UConn. I put a boost up on ESPN Bet yesterday. Northwestern was getting 9-1 to win the game. We're a 14.5-point underdog. And before I know it, I texted that to Orlovsky. He didn't reply. And then he just went on and posted this.
UConn plays Northwestern tonight in March Madness. So here's the bet, Greeny. You have to accept or not because you continue to avoid my text messages. If UConn wins, you buy dinner at the Polo Bar in New York City. Northwestern wins, I buy dinner at the Polo Bar in New York City. Either of us can bring whoever we want to that dinner. Accept? Yes or no? Go UConn.
Okay, so he's offering me a straight up bet.
That's
I mean,
ridiculous.
No odds, nothing. So, and Stay says to me, look, you can't just ignore it. Like, you have to, I'm obligated to do something. So I try to get myself some odds. So I said, all right, in the event that for those who don't know, Polo Bar is like the hardest restaurant to get into in all of New York, which is why he wants to go there. So I send him back the best I can do, which is, all right, tell you what, to create some odds, if UConn wins, we'll take you and Tiffany. And in the event that Northwestern wins, you'll take us, and each of us can invite another couple. So it'll be like, you know, 8 people instead of 4 people. So I basically tried to buy myself 2-1 odds, which is not 9-1 odds, which is what we're giving on ESPN Bet. I got forced into making a bet that, look, I love Northwestern with every fiber of my being. We weren't beating UConn. The Atlanta Hawks wouldn't beat UConn. That's how good they are.
They're catching a lot of strays
unfairly
today.
Unfairly good. Well, they're in the playoffs right now. They're 31-39, and if the season ended today, they'd make it.
And they're probably going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals based on what happens in the playoffs.
That's probably right. So the point I'm making is that, I mean, how could I have navigated this any other way?
Any other way. You are very bullyable. Because if Orlovsky goes on Twitter and he makes this public declaration, you need to punch back a lot harder than you punched back. If you're getting
what I've said?
7-1 odds. I mean, if I'm taking you to the Polo Bar, he needs to give you something 7 times greater than that, whatever that might be.
But what?
A Lamborghini? I don't know, but something more than dinner with another couple. I mean, you
also
really
didn't get any odds in the game.
Out.
Like, it was just the dinner that you got the odds for. You got two extra people. It's not like he gave you the 14-point spread or anything.
No, but see, I thought about that. But I don't want points.
No, because you're just celebrating, oh, we lost by 10.
We only
now
lost
I get
by
dinner
12.
From Orlovsky.
Like, I can't do that. Like, yeah. I get it. We had to play to the win. Like, I wanted it to be, like, chocolate chip cookies. Like, Jim Kelly does the same thing to me. Jim Kelly also has bullied me into this bet every single year that we make on the outcome of the Jets-Bills games. The Bills have Josh Allen, and we had Zach Wilson, and I'm betting him straight up, no odds, stakes. I'm sending him Peter Luger stakes. I'm running out of money here, people.
That's not true.
You have sent Jim Kelly a lot of bison.
Are you kidding me?
He's eating Bills because of you. I have
sent him more meat than he has killed in his life. He hasn't killed as many animals as I have in sending him.
Nor has Jeff
these steaks.
Saturday.
Jeff
no one has killed as much animal.
I can't wait to hear Jeff
anymore because of you.
Can't wait to hear Jeff's bet that he wants. So anyway,
he can't be bullied into that.
What is that, Jack? Is that my laminated? Okay, so Jack brought me a laminated. What else could we laminate?
I would think we could go as far as cardboard. I don't know if we could go much further.
Okay.
It's a pretty small laminator.
Let's try it. Well, let's try and just try it. So let's get. What else could we try laminating? That'd be kind of fun.
If you give me a couple of objects, I will try my best to laminate them.
Okay, what could we give him? Give him Hembo's phone.
How about there's some records over there.
Yeah.
We could definitely laminate.
Those are
a
valuable.
If you don't mind.
Maybe not the one that we display.
Yeah. Well, I don't really want to ruin a record here. Now let's figure it out later, because I got other things to get to here. But I like the idea that we could laminate something, and we'll see if we can. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Anyway, does anyone else, any other members of the assembled hashtag crew, have anything else about the tournament they want to get into before I turn the attention to some of the football? Bubba, you have any big picture tournament thoughts?
I'm just that I'm never trusting Kentucky again. I don't know why I keep falling into the same trap.
Ridiculous.
I had them in the championship game.
Me too.
I keep having every year, but I mean, it's on me, and it's on anyone who believes that, you know, that this is the year they're going to do it, and they just keep losing, so... You know, I made a note to myself next year, not trusting them. You know, they might not lose in the first round. I'll have them out by the second round at most. But I just can't keep doing it. Every year I pick them to go far.
So you had them beating Duke? Obviously, they're in the same bracket.
Yeah.
So you pick Kentucky ahead of your beloved.
You're a Duke fan.
You're a crazy Duke fan. They look unbelievably good. How did you not pick Duke?
You know, I like the reverse psychology of it sometimes, you know. I don't want to just pick Duke. I don't pick Duke to win every time. So, you know, I like to have them out, and then it ends up being a positive when they go through. When they win anyway.
I'm just looking at just how chalky these brackets are. Every one seed is still in. Every two seed is still in, and the other teams are a 3, a 5, a 4, a 6, a 3, a 5, an 11, and a 4. So I mean, there's literally one team. That with a significant, I mean, whatever you want to call it. I mean, Clemson is the next longest shot on the board after NC State.
Yeah, this is the second consecutive year that only one double-digit seed has advanced to the Sweet 16. It happened 8 times over the previous 2 years, and this is just the second time in the last 14 years that all the number ones and number two seeds advanced to the Sweet 16. So it's the sort of second straight year that it's fairly chalky, but all the ones and twos is very, very rare. But I have to admit, Greeny, This is what I prefer. Like, I would much prefer to see a Sweet 16 with Blue Bloods. It's a little more chalky and have the Cinderellas make it to the round of 32, but not advance to the Sweet 16.
But last year was, I guess, chalky to a point. I mean, Princeton got, Sweet 16, but the Final Four was 4-5-5-9.
True.
So it got to a point where it was not chalky, and I feel like people thought that went too far. So I feel like we might end up with a good in-between where you have a couple ones and maybe NC State gets farther, but I feel like you need a good balance between what we have this year and last year where you have – it's fine to have FAU in the Final Four, but you don't want it every single season.
Well, look, if you get Duke, they're a 4. But
yes,
that's
Duke.
They don't count as that. Here's I'm hearing a lot of people offering a lot of theories on why this is, and really to the point that Bubba just made, they're tying a lot of it to Calipari. That the way the sport has changed. Look, John Calipari was a very, very good college basketball coach. He was a very good coach at UMass. He went to the NBA. He was a very good coach at Memphis. He became what he became at Kentucky by seeing an opening, an opportunity. It's not really a loophole, but the one and done thing. If you were able to become the place in Kentucky, you know, you've got the name recognition and everything else, to become the place that all those kids wind up coming to, that was the way to win for a long time. Now, he only won one championship, but he had great teams and great years and all that kind of stuff all those seasons. What I'm hearing people tell me now is that in this new era with NIL and everything else, where the good players are not going to leave to go play in Europe, like the guys who are going to go to the NBA are going to go to the NBA. But a lot of these players go because they're going to start making money in Europe and all the rest of that. If they can make that same money, some of the better college basketball players are making $1 million a year in NIL. We paid a kid $500,000 to play at Northwestern, and we would never have made the NCAA tournament without it.
Jack Golke already has an NIL deal with TurboTax after his 30-point performance in the first round against Kentucky.
Right, but those are what they are. Those are what they are. But I'm talking about like literally just these collectives just come along and they make deals
several million
with these
yeah.
players. Pete Nance, I think he got $500,000 or maybe even $1 million to go to North Carolina. It doesn't matter. The point that I'm making is that now, all of a sudden, whereas the Blue Bloods all had 18-year-old kids and the mid-majors all had these teams that have been together forever, and that's why these 22-year-olds would beat these 18-year-olds every once in a while and you would see these teams making long runs, that won't happen anymore because the good players who are 22 won't stay on these mid-majors. They will transfer in the portal to the Dukes and the Carolinas and all the Cormac Ryans of the world and all these kind of people are going to wind up on the traditional powerhouses, which is why you will see fewer and fewer of the high seeds, the double-digit seeds getting into the Sweet 16, and which is why you can't win with 19-year-old kids anymore, and that's what Calipari is going to have to do.
Yeah, Calipari has one NCAA tournament win across the last four seasons at Kentucky. He has done the impossible. He has become Dabo Sweeney. He's done the thing. He is living in the past. He's doing what worked for him, but he's not doing what works given the constitution of college basketball anymore. He just isn't. I mean, UConn is the sort of crown jewel program in the sport right now. Their top two scorers and three of their top six scorers are transfers. If you are not living in free agency as a college basketball coach, you are just electing to operate at a disadvantage. And John Calipari hasn't evolved to 1%, even though the college basketball landscape has been flipped on its head over the last 5 years.
Yeah, he's trying to do it, to your point, the way he has always done it, and it's always been done. And I heard what he said. If you take what he said at face value, then he said one of the things he's always liked is that he's giving young people an opportunity. He's given these 18, 19-year-old kids, you know, a chance. The truth is the caliber of kid that he's recruiting would get a chance anyway.
Sure.
Right?
Of course.
If they're that good, they're going to go play somewhere else.
But at the beginning,
they have better pros than the team that just beat them.
Yeah. He is still doing that, though, because the most players on an NBA roster to start this season was still Kentucky. So he's still good at that. But you're seeing with these guys, they're either not adapting or they're retiring. And it's hard for a lot of these guys in their 60s to change their perspective. The ones that are really great can do it. Saban did it for a while at the end and decided it was too much for him. But these guys are either jumping out of the sport or not adapting as well as they should be.
Yeah, and a lot of the college football coaches are running to the NFL and running out of head coaching jobs. It's just different. It is a title shift, and if you don't like it and you were looking for someone to blame, point your finger directly at Indianapolis. It is 100% the NCAA's fault, if indeed anyone is at fault here, that this happened. If they had ever been willing to make reasonable accommodation, reasonable concessions to players, then they would never have wound up in court, and they would never have basically been told, all your rules must now go. You now have gone from far too many rules, meaning every rule, to no rules. They didn't go from some to none. They went from all to none. And that's their fault, not anybody else's. All right, Greeny brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. What a play. Let's do some trivia. What do you got, Hembo?
Who is the last Heisman Trophy winner that was not drafted in the first round? The last player to win the Heisman Trophy that was not drafted in round one. That's the question.
Trying to think of the tie to it here, because the Heisman Trophy winner is going to get drafted in the first round.
He sure is.
Yeah. Okay.
They both are.
Yeah.
Right. The last two Heisman
That's right.
winners
both of them.
That's will be
exactly
in the top
right.
two
yeah.
or three.
That's exactly right. The first two picks in the draft will both be Heisman winners. Okay, who was the last Heisman winner that didn't go round one? Answer next, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you will love, visit progressive.com/careers. I am back, and it is good to be here. Hembo has a question.
Who is the last Heisman Trophy winner that was not drafted in the first round?
I'm sure mine is not right, because I'm sure it has happened more recently. But there's one I know for sure, and so I'm just interested. I know this has to have happened since this, but Charlie Ward won the Heisman and then went and played in the NBA and was not a first-round draft pick in the NFL. So he's unquestionably an answer to this question. That would be back in the early 90s, so I would be very surprised if it hasn't happened since, but I couldn't think of one off the top of my head, so that's going to be my answer. Cam?
I'm going with Troy Smith. I don't remember when he was drafted, but I know he didn't have that great of a career. So
he wouldn't have been a
first
round pick. That's a good one. Yeah, absolutely. And that's more recent.
And Troy Smith is also the guess of Pineapple Jack.
Is also Pineapple Jack's guess. And Bubba?
Yeah, I thought of back in the day, I thought of Gino Toretta, Jason White, but I'm going to go with a more recent running back, and his name is Derrick Henry.
Oh, that is
he not
good.
A, oh,
he was
man.
Not a first round pick. He was not. That's good. And all of these, so my guess sucked.
Oh, man.
These are all way more recent than Charlie Ward. Who's right?
Yeah, I thought of Charlie as well, but
Bubba's right. The correct
wow.
answer is Derrick Henry.
Wow, that is good.
The Heisman Trophy winner in 2015, oddly enough.
Yes.
Bizarrely enough, drafted in the second round of the 2016 draft by the Titans.
That
oh,
is well
man.
Played. And he is still kicking everybody's behind right now and going to be a difference maker in Baltimore this year, which brings us to all the things that happened in the NFL while I was gone.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
The Green List.
All right, here's today's Green List. These are the top five things that happened in the NFL while I was away last week, because it was a very busy football week.
Number five.
Number five, I want to talk about karma. I want to talk about good karma. I want to talk about putting good things into the universe and having them eventually come back to you. I do believe in the what goes around comes around of it all. So the Chicago Bears did right by Justin Fields. They could have held on to him longer and tried to extract more for him in a trade. They probably, from what I'm told, could have gotten more for him than they did in sending him to Pittsburgh. But I think they wanted to do right by him. And I think that was the right thing to do. Now, clearly, if they could have gotten a first-round pick, then you would be insane to take a sixth-round pick. But a six that could become a four rather than a five, and you send him someplace that he doesn't want to be, and you take a young kid who didn't do anything wrong, who actually did everything right for your organization, and you put him squarely behind the eight ball in his career. I think the Bears did this right. I think that this is putting good vibes into the universe, and I believe they will come back to them.
I think that the phrase, nice guys finish last, was intended for situations like this. The Bears did a profoundly stupid thing by giving away Justin Fields to do right by him, if that's exactly what they did, in fact. I don't know for sure that they passed up on a better return, because I don't have access to that information, of course, but it's hard for me to believe that a conditional 25, a sixth that can convert into a fourth only if he plays half the snaps for a team that already had a quarterback, that just traded for a quarterback, is A, the best they could do, and B, doing right by him. You're not exactly putting him in position to succeed if that was so important to you. Are you telling me that Justin Fields handpicked the Steelers as his next spot? I'd be really surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised
if that were the case.
I would not be surprised if he made it clear to them, here's a group of teams, a list of teams I would be happiest to be traded to. I would be surprised if he didn't do that.
And how is that going to manifest for the Bears in a positive way?
It just is. It just is, because the universe is not filled exclusively with numbers. The universe is filled with good vibes, and they come back to you. They did right by the kid, and I think that's a good move. And by the way, I think he will play more than half their snaps.
You do?
This season. I'll get to that as we continue with my top five.
Number four.
Number four, J.J. McCarthy's stock is skyrocketing. If there's one thing I paid close attention to while I was away, it's all the things that happened that surround the draft. I'm telling you right now, J.J. McCarthy's name is going to be called before we go to our first commercial. Thursday night, April 25th in Detroit. I do not think we get to our first break before we hear J.J. McCarthy's name. And I do not think it is beyond the realm of possibility that he goes third amongst the quarterbacks.
Three. Yeah. Okay, so right now at ESPN Bet, you can play J.J. McCarthy to be the number three pick at 5-1. He's behind Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison for that pick. Are you telling me right now you think that might be a decent value?
I think,
you want to play it?
I don't know that he's going to be the third pick. I think he might be the third quarterback. I don't think it is beyond the realm of possibility that Drake May winds up getting drafted later than we expect. Now, maybe someone trades up and makes that move for him, but I think it is not impossible for all this talk we've had about 1, 2, 3, and 4, that a different player might not get snuck into that mix somewhere.
That's fascinating. Right now at ESPN Bet, here are the best odds to draft J.J. McCarthy. The Vikings are minus 140, the Giants are plus 275, and then the Broncos are at plus 375.
So where do the Vikings have to get up to get him?
I mean, you're telling me as high as three?
It depends on the Giants if they want to take a quarterback. They have to get ahead of the Giants. If you think the top three will go in the top three, they'd have to get ahead of them, but we don't know if the Giants
do
want to take a quarterback.
How do the Giants not? Oh, come on. How do the Giants not take a quarterback if one is sitting there they like?
You mean at six? Probably. You mean not trading up?
I mean, I think that they probably will have to trade up, and I would be surprised if they don't.
The three or four?
Something like that, yeah. So I guess
it could be a race between them and the Vikings.
So then, in retrospect, so then he will go third or fourth. I don't think he goes any lower than fifth. So
the basement is five for you, for J.J. McCarthy.
I do not think he is sitting there when the sixth pick is made.
And what percent chance would you say that J.J. McCarthy is drafted before Drake May?
Like 5%.
Okay, but there is a chance.
Yes, I think there are teams out there that love him.
Is there any team out there that likes him more than Jaden Daniels, you think?
No.
No. So those guys are one and two.
I think Jaden Daniels is a lock to go two.
So we have 1-2 figured out. Now
I think it's going to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then the mystery begins.
So the Patriots control the board is what you're saying.
I think that's right.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they make a trade.
Number three.
All right, just quickly, I will say that I think the most impactful move still came early. You brought up Derrick Henry. That move to Baltimore I still think is going to wind up being the most important one any AFC team made, because I think they go to the Super Bowl next year. And then I still think we're sleeping on the Falcons. I think the Kirk Cousins acquisition in Atlanta is bigger than most people are making it out to be. I think they are a sneaky Super Bowl pick. What are their odds? What are their Super Bowl odds?
They're 11-1 to get there behind the Niners, the Lions, the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Packers. Would you play the Falcons at 11-1 to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's a pretty nice number.
I mean, they got a clear path based on the division, of course, but yeah. You see them winning two or three playoff games with that quarterback?
I don't think it's impossible. Now, I know we've never seen him win two or three playoff games in his career, but that doesn't mean he can't.
A lot of guys never did. That do.
Right.
We just saw Matthew Stafford do it.
Matthew Stafford at zero.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's impossible. I think that team is so loaded. They have been a sleeping giant for a long time.
Number two.
Number two, the Jets are handling this offseason exactly right. Exactly right. For all the complaining that I do and all the Jet fans do, they've done this right. There's no time like this minute. Go all in. And I've got a message for them. Joe and everyone else there, take a lineman. Do not take a tight end. You need more of them. Tyron Smith is not going to be healthy all year. These guys are not going to be healthy all year. If Tyron Smith plays four games this year, the Jets are dead. If he plays 13 games this year, they have a real chance. Take another lineman, more depth, more linemen. We don't need a tight end. We don't need a wide receiver. We don't need anything on defense. We need more linemen. That's what I want them to do in the draft.
Number one.
And finally at number one, and we'll spend some more time on that one and this one, I believe Justin Fields is going to be a huge winner in all of this. I believe he is the Steelers quarterback of the future. I will be shocked, while I understand what Tomlin is saying, I will be shocked if Justin Fields is not that team's quarterback this year. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think Russell Wilson is done, cooked, completely toast. And Justin Fields is super talented. And as Mike Tomlin said it himself, he's oozing with talent. I think he's going
to
play.
All right. There's a lot more to be said about all those, and we'll do that next.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.